Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's a great day today. Can you all agree?
Yes.
Welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church. And this is directed to all of you who are here in person and to all of you who are online. Wherever you're coming from and whatever you're bringing with you from this week, we pray you will experience the restoring presence of the living Jesus here today. I have a few announcements to make. Thank you to all of you who joined us yesterday for the dedication of the playground. It was a nice event, and yes, there were small children there climbing on the playground. And of course, special thanks to all of those of you who donated financially to the program as well. Help us to support the Hebron Day School this week, Wednesday. That's just a few days from now. At 11 o'clock, there'll be a trunk or treat along the parking lot there, and the little ghosts and goblins will come out of the school with bags seeking some treats that they can get. So you can either decorate your trunk, or you can decorate yourself, dress up, or none of the above, and just bring some candy and hand it out to the kids. It's a lot of fun. I've done it 2 years in a row now, and I highly recommend it. If you have any questions about that, Noah can answer them. Mark your calendars for November 2nd, which is next week, for the Operation Christmas Child Packing Day, which will be down in Holman Hall, and there'll be a big setup for that. And that's the culmination of that very important and generous project. Now, following the worship today, there'll be a congregational meeting. Shouldn't last longer than 5 or 6 minutes, but it has to be done by the congregation to elect the nominating committee. So after the postlude, as opposed to getting up, stay seated, and the meeting will take place. And then after that, please join us in Holman Hall, down the hall, which I've already been down there, scoped out the treats, the drinks. It's a good time going to have be had by all, so please join us down there. Now, let us prepare our hearts for worship. Please rise as you may be able and join me as we are called to worship. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
May heaven and earth.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing.
Know that the Lord is God.
It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture.
The same God who has gathered us to worship now greets you with these words: grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We worship and adore you, for you have called us out of darkness into the kingdom of your marvelous light. Though we rebelled against you, you did not abandon us, but sent prophets to show us back to your way. And in the fullness of time, you sent Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, to be for us our life and our salvation. In his death, you overcame death, and in his resurrection, you have established your glorious kingdom among us. Unite our hearts together in worship, O God, that in spirit and in truth we would give you the glory. Speak to us afresh this day with words of mercy and grace, and empower us with your Holy Spirit to be a gospel people, bringing your kingdom light to the ends of the earth. All this we pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
Now for the call to confession and prayer of confession. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Trusting in God's faithfulness and compassion, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Living in abundance, we have failed to acknowledge you as the source of all we have. Hoarding them for ourselves, we have failed to use your gifts for the good of others. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your name and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen. Amen. Almighty God, in his great mercy, gave Jesus Christ to die for us, and for Christ's sake forgives us all our sins. Through the Holy Spirit, he cleanses us and empowers us to proclaim the mighty deeds of God, for he called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
Assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
I'd like to invite any children up for our children's message. Thank you, Eli. Welcome. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. How are we today? Good? Good. Okay, today we're going to hear the story of a widow and her son. Again, God spoke to the prophet Elijah. Go to Zarephath, he said. It was a surprising command. Zarephath was a city in Sidon, beyond Israel, where people had always followed the false god Baal. But Elijah obeyed. You shall see a poor woman there, a widow gathering sticks. I have told her to give you whatever food you need. Sure enough, when Elijah came through the gates of the city, he saw the woman bending low, gathering sticks. He called to her, and she looked up, astonished at the tall, wild stranger standing before her. Please bring me a little water to drink, he asked, and fetch me some bread. Oh, sir, she answered, by the name of the living God whom you worship, I have no bread, only a handful of flour and a little bit of oil in a jug. Can you imagine just a handful of flour? This is all that I have left because of the terrible drought which ruined our harvest. Now I am gathering these sticks to make a fire to cook a last meal for my little boy and myself before we die of hunger. Elijah looked down at her and said, "Don't be afraid. First bake a small cake for me and then one for your son and yourself. Because the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the jar of flour will not be used up, nor will the jug of oil run dry until I bring rain upon the earth." So the woman ran to her home, and there she baked and cooked and poured out flour and mixed in the oil once, twice, many times. It was true. The flour never failed. The oil never ran dry. The God of Israel never failed in his promise. Day after day, the widow looked after Elijah, giving him a room to stay in. She fed him and fed herself and fed her little boy. That's the end of our story. But what we learn from it is that sometimes when we have just a little bit of things, maybe we just have a little bit of a few toys or maybe just a few friends, God can turn just a little bit of stuff into a lot so that our whole lives are filled with joy and love. You understand? He gets it. Okay. Let's pray. Can I see your prayer hands? Can I see your prayer hands, Eliza? Prayer hands. This is a repeat after me prayer, adults included. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for showing us.
Thank you for showing us
that even when we have a little,
you give us a lot.
Help us be thankful
for all that we have.
For
all that we have.
In Jesus' name,
we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, you can go back and sit down. Go to the fellowship hall where the... Let's turn again to God in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord our God, you who spoke your word to us in Jesus Christ and preserved through the centuries a record of your word for us, send now your Holy Spirit to open our ears, hearts, minds, and lives, that we may hear again and ever anew your word to us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 14th chapter, starting in the 13th verse. Just previous to this, our reading, we read of John the Baptist being executed and his head being served up on a silver platter to Herod. And so, as that's happening, word gets to Jesus that John, his cousin, has died. Has been killed. And so he seeks to find a place to be by himself. So listen now to the word of the Lord from the Gospel of Matthew. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard of it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all who were there ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today is the last Sunday in our sermon series, The Gift of Small. You may remember that we began the series with the parable of the mustard seed and the general principle that God's kingdom is breaking into our world through seemingly small and insignificant persons, things, and circumstances. The next week, we saw through the lens of Gideon's army how God uses people, often small in number in particular times and places, to show forth his glory. And last week, we noted how our treasures, no matter their size, matter to God, and how our giving of them is a statement of our faith. Today, we are looking at our talents. So we've seen people, resources, talents, those often intangible gifts which God gives, and how he might use our talents for his kingdom. Now, as a society, we are enamored with talent. We hold talent shows. We watch programs like The Voice or, right on the nose, America's Got Talent. We purchase compendiums of special talents, Guinness World Records, now in their 71st year of publication. Talent is also central to our narrative of American exceptionalism. We lift up these people and show how their talents prove our nation's worth, from Edison to Steve Jobs, Michael Jordan to Tom Brady. We are captured by stories of prodigies and geniuses. We prize those with special gifts. Now, though it is right and good to celebrate the particular gifts and skills which God gives to certain persons, this is good. But I wonder if our fascination with the special, the so-called special, gives us a misshapen view of our own talents. In light of those whom our society deems as talented, do we see our own gifts and skills as nothing much, unimportant, small? Maybe it is that we don't truly realize what God has given at our disposal, and instead we consign ourselves to being untalented and insignificant. Now, this was certainly the case with the disciples as they were faced to feed the 5,000. In our scripture reading, the crowds had followed Jesus as he had left to find a deserted place. And instead of being frustrated at the interruption, Jesus had compassion on them and healed their sick. But now it was dinner time, and the disciples had no clue how they were going to feed all these people. The most pragmatic thing would be to send them away. Tell them, go to the nearest villages and buy for yourselves. But Jesus, as he so often does, he had a different idea. They need not go away. You give them something to eat. Now the disciples were panicked. They rustled up whatever they could find. They pooled all of the resources that they had. And what they could present were a mere 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now this may have been a fine meal for just the 12 of them, but with 5,000 before them, that would only maybe be a morsel, not even a bite each. So not even thinking that they can stretch it, being the realists that the disciples were, they tell Jesus, "We have nothing here." But again, Jesus has a different idea. He said to them, "Bring them here to me." After blessing and breaking the bread, Jesus gives it to the disciples to distribute to the masses. And as they gave it out, one person after another, they found that instead of running out of food, that as they gave, there was only more that they could distribute. So they give and give and give until all ate and were filled. There was such a great abundance of food after that that they collected 12 baskets of leftovers. Now, these are not just like, you know, offering baskets. We're talking like baskets, like laundry baskets full of food. With just 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus fed over 5,000 people. Now, the miracle of this story is not necessarily that Jesus could feed all these people. The miracle was that Jesus took what the disciples considered lack and transformed it into an overabundance until all were filled. The disciples thought that what they had at their disposal was nothing, not even worth mentioning to Jesus. Yet he took what they had and multiplied it to make an impact. From nothing, all ate and were satisfied. This is the power of Jesus in action. When it comes to our talents, like the disciples, we may think that we have nothing. What we have is insignificant, small. But what our scripture is asking of us today is, what might Jesus do? What might Jesus do if we offered him these gifts anyway? We may see them as small, but what if we offered them to him anyway? What might he do? For God can multiply the seemingly smallest gift so it has a kingdom-sized impact. Jesus takes all we have to give him, even if in the eyes of the world it is nothing, and blesses it to fulfill his will. Think of it like this. Jesus fed the hungry masses with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. How might he use our seemingly small gifts to feed this spiritually hungry world? If he could do that with just 5 loaves and 2 fish, what might he do to feed our world? When we consign our gifts and talents to being insignificant, unimportant, nothing, we miss the opportunity to be used and blessed for God's mission in the world. We miss the opportunity to be used by God. But when we trust in the power of Jesus to multiply and to bless, we join him in the redemption of all things. The scholar Dale Bruner writes, "When Jesus says to the disciples, 'Bring them here to me,' it means to give Jesus everything we have in practical obedience, however insignificant that everything may seem to be. Doing what we can with what we have is a wonderfully flexible instrument. Under Jesus' blessing, it can bring help of the most creative kind. Jesus can take what the world sees as nothing and transform it into an overabundance for the kingdom. And as we use and give of our gifts and talents, we will not find that there is less, but only more to give. And so we can give and give and give to those in need. From our seeming lack, Jesus can create a filling and satisfying supply. We may not think we have important gifts, but what has God already given us that he can bless? Last week, if you remember, we collected some of those talents on those written sheets of paper. And they included such things as empathy, a cheerful heart, the ability to listen, gardening skills, organizational skills, the ability to cook, even tree climbing. Now, all of these are ordinary, really, and every day in the eyes of the world. But if we offer them to God, he would bless and multiply so to make a kingdom impact, not just in this church, not just in this community, but even to the ends of the earth. Going back to that first sermon in our series, talking about it's just the small things through which God's kingdom is breaking through. It may be a smile to a neighbor. You don't know what's going on in their lives, but that might be the thing that changes their day. It may be a helping hand for somebody you know who is sick or lonely. That's not going to be written in any history books, but it may be life-transforming for that person. All of these little things, the time and talent and skills that we have, if we simply say, Lord, show me how to use them and bless them for your purposes, we will find that they overflow to create real kingdom transformation in the world. So let us not miss the opportunity to join in God's kingdom work. Let us not consign our ordinary, seemingly small skills and talents to being nothing. Instead, trusting in the power of God to multiply, let us offer up everything to Jesus, praying that he would show us how to use them and to bless them for his purposes. And in doing so, may our seeming lack fill this spiritually hungry world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray our prayer of discernment together. Lord, show us your will for Hebron and how you are calling me to serve. Amen. Let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, you are the source of all that is, and you sustain all things by your sovereign power. In you we live and move and have our being. Trusting in your ability to bless and multiply, help us bring our gifts, talents, and skills to give them up to your kingdom purposes. Give us a fresh vision of what you are doing in the world, and grant that we would not miss the opportunity to join in your reconciling work. Hear us now as we lift to you our prayers. Almighty Father, all the world is yours, and all that dwells therein. Help us to recognize you as the creator of all, knowing that we ultimately don't own anything and so cannot hoard it for ourselves. Instead, transform our hearts that we may give of our abundance to a world in need. Lord, this day especially, we lift up those impacted by Hurricane Melissa, for those families who mourn because of deaths caused by the hurricane, and for those communities that are seeking to rebuild or are simply waiting until it comes their way. Send out your helpers, O God, into this place, these places in your need, and bless that they may rebuild and bring an end to such violent winds, O God. We pray for those who hunger this day, especially as benefits are on hold. We pray that you would empower organizations like Goochland Cares and food banks at churches and community centers to be places where families can come and find food, that children would not go hungry or miss a much-needed meal. Show us the ways in which we can support those in this community who hunger and who lack. Show us, O God, and help us to use our hands and feet to help this needy world. Almighty Son, though you were rich, you became poor, giving up even your very life that we would be redeemed. Walking in the way of the cross, help us to love our neighbors that all may come within the reach of your saving embrace. Lord, we pray that you would heal the divisions of your church across the world. We pray for our siblings in the Anglican Communion. We pray for churches which are divided against denominational lines, cultural lines, national lines. Help us to be one in the confession of Jesus Christ as Lord. And heal over all divisions that may be among us in this place, O God, that we would seek first to be unified, asking for forgiveness, granting forgiveness to others, seeking as it is up to us to be at peace with all people. For in the end, O God, it is not our will that we seek to do in this place, but it is your will. Show us the way forward, unite us together, and heal our divisions. Lord, especially we lift up the work of your church in Senegal. We pray that you would bless missionaries, evangelists, and indigenous churches in that land, that you might do a mighty work, and that many may come to faith in the Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to support all those in mission across the world with our prayers, with our voices, and even with our resources to aid in your mission. Almighty Spirit, you empower us and give us life each day. Teach us to share your love and care with all those in need. We pray this day for those who suffer in mind, body, and spirit. And especially we lift to you those people and circumstances which weigh heavily on our hearts. We name them before you in this moment. Almighty three in one, we commend into your hands all our cares, trusting that you can do infinitely more than we could ever ask or imagine, trusting that you can bless and multiply for your glory. For we pray it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We do trust in that power of God to bless and multiply all that we give. So let us gladly offer up our life and labors to the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, by whose own gifts alone we give to you, since all we have is yours, accept the offerings which we present, and grant that with them we may have the grace to present ourselves, our whole lives, as a living sacrifice. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
To stay in the space after the postlude, and we will have our congregational meeting. At the end of the first sermon in this series, I said there are three things we have to do to see God's kingdom breaking through the small. We have to look for it. We have to see where is God working in the world. We have to pray that God would use us as those places where his kingdom is breaking forth. And third, we have to tell somebody about it. It's all fine and good to see where God is working, but it has a greater impact if we tell the world the mighty deeds of our God. So look, pray, tell, and in that way, give God the glory. So go from this place to love and serve the Lord. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. This day, always, forever. Amen.
Thank you.
So now we enter our congregational meeting for the purpose of electing a nomination committee for the remainder of 2025. Madam Clerk, do we have
a quorum? Yes.
I call this meeting to order. Let us pray. Gracious God, you set us to do the work of your kingdom. So empower us in our meeting together that we may not discern our own wills, but that we may discern your will for this congregation and for the work that you would have us do. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again said, we only have one order of business, and that is to elect a nominating committee. Those who have been nominated, I will ask to raise your hand as I call you out, and then we'll move from there. So our Barb Young, Eileen Ford, and Nancy Michael. These are the three that have been brought forward. But it is right at this time to ask, are there any nominations from the floor? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve the nomination and election of these three individuals to be our nominating committee for the remainder of 2025? So moved by Brian and a second by Jim Dunlap. All in favor, I would ask that you raise your hands now. Okay. All opposed, same sign. Okay, we have elected our nominating committee for the rest of 2025. I say that, I stress the rest of 2025, because at our annual meeting in January, we will elect the next nominating committee, and this will become our cycle. Instead of doing it sort of mid-year, we will elect at the beginning of the year so that it just fills out. It works much better that way. Okay, I would entertain a motion to adjourn our meeting.
So moved.
Oh, I need a, okay, that's a moved in a second. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you have blessed us to come together to elect people whom you have called for these offices. Lord, help us not to get so bogged down in bureaucracy that we forget that our first calling is to your mission. So show us the way and send us out with joy. In Jesus' name, amen. This meeting is adjourned. Please join us in Holman Hall for fellowship.
Congratulations. Power corrupts, though, I knew.